This is New Life Clinic, Boise, Idaho. Pastor Buck speaking. Our study today will be on the sequel to the Throne Room Experience, a tape that was made 21 months ago. This sequel comes today, November 17, 1978, following ample time for many of the items that God had given me to unfold. And so at this time, I'm going to read just a brief introduction as a prelude to sharing some of the things that God fulfilled, and taking another look, a longer look, at the experience in the throne room. Another look at the throne room. This message comes as a sequel to the one given in January 1977, entitled My Visit to the Throne Room. Like Paul of old, the wonders and glories of that place find no adequate description in human language. It was nearly a week following this experience before I felt I could share it publicly. And even then, only such parts as God would release. As a result, the first message was given in halting, hesitant terms as I groped for areas I felt would not violate my sacred trust. In that message, I referred to a list of 120 things, many of them pertaining to my life and ministry. On this list were events, dates, places, and people. 20 of these were described in limited detail, including dates. Others were mere references to events to come. In this message, which comes 21 months later, there will be much more complete information because of the many confirmations and the release God has given, enabling me to share. Some areas are still restricted. During that visit, God truly gave me a glimpse of the secrets of the universe, of matter, of energy, nature, space, all bearing the same beautiful trademark. He took me from Genesis to Revelation, giving me an overlay of truth that added a beauty and unity to the whole Bible. He allowed me to view his record and his planning books. He allowed me to see the believer standing with God and the safety and the sureness of God's defense for every person who has put his faith and trust in God. So today we go back and review some of the things, some of the items that were on this paper. Also, the truths, some of the truths that I was unable to share at that particular time on that tape. The first thing I would like to share would be the standing of believers before God. Their standing when their faith is in the blood. God pointed me to a little used portion of Scripture. It may be greatly used in a story form, but little used to show God's plan. And that is the portion of Scripture dealing with Balaam. And we oftentimes think of this only as the place where the mule spoke, but it was more than that. This became a beautiful picture that God himself inserted into this part of the Bible, showing that when a believer or a people put their faith in the plan that he has given to them, they are safe. And here he described it as a covering, their faith as a covering for sin that would last from one sacrifice till the other. And he made such statements as, I have not seen iniquity in Jacob. I have not seen perverseness in Israel. He knew he could see if he came down and looked under the covering. This is a beautiful truth, and the full text and the enlargement of this is found on another tape. In fact, the tape, when God says thanks, gives a full picture of this message that God brought so beautifully to the world. He allowed me to see God, the record books, and also his blueprints for lives. I made just brief reference, but I was so staggered and awed at the time I could not enlarge or go into this. He allowed me to see the plan book of the Apostle Paul's of the Apostle Paul, where God, in his planning for his life, determining that he would be used to bring the gospel to kings and rulers and men in authority, caused him to be tutored by the great teachers of his day, finally being tutored by the greatest teacher of that time, Gamaliel. Then one of the things that was the most exciting to me and has moved people and had real meaning to them down since that time was the peek that God gave me into Abraham and Sarah's record book. And I have to refer to that at this time because I feel it is so important. In looking over the record book of Abraham's life, I saw records of things that I was totally unfamiliar with. Never seen them in the book of Genesis. I saw records of such things as Abraham and Sarah's hospitality to strangers. I saw times where they watered their camels and gave them a place to stay. And they shared their food with them. And there was a real feeling for those who had less than they did. God honored this, and it was written down in that book. But I failed to find the places where Abraham stumbled, the time that he lied to the king of Egypt, saying that his wife was his sister, the time that his faith was weak, and he staggered so that the because of unbelief at God's promise that a man of his age could be a father. I didn't see that. So I did ask God, where is the other book? God said, I have no other book. I said, where is it written about Abraham's, all these failures of Abraham? God said, I have no other book, but I do not record failure. This is a beautiful hope. This was an area that I did not have on the other tape, but was one that was so beautiful in showing God's plan. Another thing that I did not have on the tape was the status of the departed loved ones. God allowed me to see loved ones who had gone on before. He allowed me to see believers who are passing from this life and to watch them come. He let me see families as they were alerted by the angels that a loved one was coming home and for them to ready themselves to meet them and welcome them. And these people, something that I was never aware of before, all of them had heavenly bodies or celestial bodies, as Paul referred to. They were bodies that God had given them for that dimension. They were identifiable. They looked just exactly like they looked here, minus the care, minus the hurts, and the other problems. But the tremendous joy and excitement and happiness. Every day was a day of new expectation for them because the things of God were so real, and it was a place of continual discovery in the beautiful things of God. He let me see something that at that time was not general knowledge, but since the book Life After Life and several other books have been published, but he allowed me to see some that God, at his prerogative, had allowed to return, because there was an area between their abiding place in heaven and this earth from which they could be brought back. And for this reason, unbelievers who have been brought back were still in this area. Believers who have been brought back were still in this area. And at God's choice, they were allowed to return because they had not reached the place of their final abode. These are some very, very interesting things, but it isn't guesswork. I saw it. It was there. So I know that there are many people that would give me argument on this, but I know it was true. I saw it. Praise God. Another thing he let me see, and I believe I mentioned this on the earlier tape, was that there were those within the church that God was going to bless in a financial way. People that may not have had great finances at the time, but they were, God was putting His work so heavily upon their hearts that they would feel that it was the greatest, most important thing in the world was using their talents to create a cash flow for the things of God. And I have since taken a little peek at some giving records, which I usually don't do, but no harm done. I wanted to find out, just for my own confirmation, Lord, did you bless these people? Did they do what you said? And all of them that the Lord referred to had moved from a spot of meagerness in their giving to an overwhelming. They didn't know that they were included on this. They didn't know it. I didn't tell them. But God followed them up. And this one of the things that excites me in this is that when God says something, we don't have to follow him around and keep reminding him and nudging him, saying, "Now, God, I've got to keep an eye on you that you make sure you do the thing." He said, "Are you going to make me look real bad? I could look so horrible if I was worried about that part. Or I could think that I would look bad. If God doesn't do this, I'm going to look bad. If he doesn't do this, why, my neck is way out. I'm not even sweating about it." I thought of it a few times, and before I could really start sweating very, very hard, the Lord has reminded me, "You tend to your business, and I'll tend to mine." And he reminded me of that, and I placed that on the other tape. Many times he said, "You take care of your responsibilities, I'll take care of mine." So, if he doesn't do what he said he would do, there's not anything I can do about it. But I know he will, because I trust him, and he hasn't failed. And if he doesn't do it today, he's probably got it on his schedule for tomorrow. He'll get it done. You don't need to worry about that. Another thing that was I have thought about, there were three people who were going to pass from this life. The Lord gave me the dates that they would die and the way that they would die. I don't know why he did this, but he did. And one of them in particular that I think of, Kurt Doolin. The date was there that he would be saved. I jotted it down long before I knew who he was. But He would be saved. Then on May the 30th, he would be killed in May 30th, 1977, in a plane crash. And God saved him as he said he would. God let him know he was in our service here on a Friday, the week before he died. And at noon, he said, "Can I sit with you at the table?" He said, "There's some things I just have to talk to you about." And so I sat with him there in our lunch room as we ate together. He said, "Pastor, I have a strange feeling that I might be going to heaven. And will you tell me everything that you can tell me about heaven?" I had to bite my lip because I knew he was going. But I didn't tell him. I knew God told me I couldn't because of the impact that it would have on these lives. But I did tell him everything about heaven. A week and 3 days later, on May the 30th, he went to be with the Lord. Just exactly like the Lord said he would do. I think of another thing that God had on this. God allowed me to actually witness it in happening, and it was also on the paper. It was a family. I won't give their names, but I know it if somebody wanted to ask personally. But this family was having real problems, and the Lord allowed me to see them come into my office, and knowing the need. Well, and the date was on this particular item. When that day came, these people didn't show up. I wondered what had happened, what had gone wrong. But I decided to stay a little while anyway. And a short while after I was my normal closing time, the telephone rang, and some people said, "Pastor Buck, will you be in your office for a little while?" And I said, "Yes, I'll be here." They didn't tell me who they were. So they came. And when they came to the door, I greeted them by name. And this literally shook them up a little bit. So then I asked them, I said, "What brought you here?" And they said, "Well, we've been having terrible marital problems. And we decided we'd have to go someplace to kind of take a little trip, clear our heads. And we don't know why, but we just settled on Boise." And they said, "We got in here and we went down to a motel, and the telephone book was lying open. And it was lying open to the spot where you have your ad. It says counseling by appointment." Well, I knew that one of those angels had been there ahead of time and gotten it all open and also fixed things up at the desk so they'd give them the right room. But they came out then, but the lady said, "Well, but it's all right now. We've had such a good time. We've driven up here together, and we've gotten things all straightened out. Everything's going to be okay. So we'd better go now." I said, "No, you stay here." I said, "That isn't the way it was." And I told them that God had let me see happening. And I said, "You have a gun in your purse, and you're planning on shooting your husband as soon as you get back to that motel." And he looked at her and he said, "Well, you plan on shooting me?" And he was really got alarmed about that time. And she began to shake, and I said, "I want you to open your purse and give me that gun." So she opened her purse and handed me the gun. And she cried out to God. She knew that I didn't know anything about that, unless the Lord let me know. Well, he let me know about it a long time before it happened. So, about 6 months, in fact. So both of them fell down on their faces before God, and God washed their sins away and put them back together. I've had one letter from them since. They're going to a Nazarene church in Sacramento, just really happy in the Lord, serving God. But it was something that the Lord let me see was going to take place. And incidentally, in this paper, he didn't tell me that he was putting down everything that would happen. He said, "I just want to pick out a few things so you can you can see by confirmation that it's really, that God is really on the job. And so there were undoubtedly were hundreds of things in between each of these events, but he let me see just a few to have as markers along the road. I've had people ask me, well, what about the 120 when they're all done? Is what's going to happen then? And I just let them know that it's all planned out ahead of that, just as much as was planned on the other side, only I don't know about it, because God has everything all staked out. Praise God. Then another thing that was on this paper was my ministry in Germany last September. And on this, as on the others, the Lord said, let me handle my own responsibilities. So I did. He worked it out. Took place just the way he said it would. Incidentally, I wrote down 10 of the things on an old envelope, put it in one day when I was thinking about it, about 3 weeks after the experience, so that I'd have it in there. And I pulled that out three months ago or so, and it was quite interesting looking at that envelope where I'd written some of these things on. Another was the ministry of this church in Russia. I'd written after it. I wonder how in the world God's going to do this. But it was there. It was on that paper. When Terry Law was here in the Up With Jesus Crusade, he had made arrangements for a meeting in Russia, but they had no means of launching it. But in this crusade, this assembly was able to provide the funds that ignited the rocket thrust, and they went in, and God started something there that's going to continue on and on and on and on. It's just going to keep going because they have I won't say it. You'll have to guess on this. Somebody might get the tape that could do some damage here, but I will just say this, that people that have never had Bibles before are going to get Bibles. Now, because of what the Lord had done there. Another thing that I felt was really great, and I thank God every time I see this young man, a fellow that had sold his life out to Satan as a satanic priest, and the Lord, his name was down. The Lord let me even see him. And when he came into church, I knew him and greeted him, told him I wanted to come back in my office, as he did. And God saved him, blotted out all of the old evil that was in him, and gave him new hope, new victory. He is conducting a Joy Fellowship group over in Napa now. Praise God. His name's Jim Olson. Some of you, I'm sure, know who Jim Olson is. But his father was Dean of Admissions, I believe it is, for the Northwest Nazarene College. But God has done this. Then another thing that was on the paper was the worldwide ministry of this church that it would reach. And God has taken care of this. These messages that have been brought to me by the angels have been, I don't think I could have arranged an organization big enough to have caused what's happening. God's doing it. He's making a worldwide outreach right from the center right here. All over the world. Hallelujah. And so we'll be sending the truths that will be put in these pamphlet forms and later into a book form. They're going to be going all over the world. Hallelujah. Because the truths are liberating truths, and they're setting people free. So the Lord lets us know that we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Then I think of another thing, number 112 happened in Toppenish when a great a man that had a great chain of restaurants turned his life over to the Lord, named James Andrews. And And when he accepted the Lord, he was a Jew. He let me know that his life now had taken a different turn, and he immediately began thinking of ways and means that the hundreds of employees in these restaurants across the country would have the same opportunity, because he said, surely God cares as much for them as he does for me. And that man turned his life over to the Lord. When he told me his name, something inside of me leaped, because his name was number 112 on the list. Praise God. Then the Philippine ministry, it was also planned ahead of time. The Lord put it together. The Lord worked it out. I was careful. I got a little anxious. But he said, let me handle my own responsibilities. And he did. And even when I was there, I was kind of anxious. I thought maybe he had gotten it a little bit wrong. But he assured me, sent by special messenger, he assured me that he had done it right. Praise God. And it proved out that he had done it right. And that story is another story in itself, how that God brought leaders to me from all three areas of need that he wanted to liberate, from spirit, soul, and body. He brought leaders that could be active in all three areas. Praise God. One of the things that he told me when he brought me back was, I will come to you again. And he has revisited me by the means of these heavenly messengers with messages over and over and over again. There have been 8 separate times of visitation. And I know he's not through yet. I know he's going to continue. Because it isn't, it's his work. It's something that he initiated. It's his prerogative. And there's no way in the world I can even ask and call for an angelic being. They don't respond. They don't listen to people. They only listen to God. But I've had a lot of people say, how in the world can you make contact? I've had people tell me that they're commanding angels to watch around their house, and they're commanding them to do this and this. You're just fooling yourself. You can't command them to do one thing. If you saw something on the floor and you tell them, would you pick that up for me? They'd say no. They take every order from God. Every order from God. So, but I know that when they speak, they are echoing words right out of God's heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is why they don't listen to objections of people when God turns them loose on people. They move them toward God, and God will not listen to the objections. This, if you don't have it, is on the tape. Good news for you and your family. My visit to the throne room literally changed my life. I felt I knew God in a more real and personal way than ever before. My times of prayer were visits with Him. The Word took on a new dimension and began to live. It became apparent that this experience was a big part of my life. It occupied my thoughts and meditations. Though I did not have the benefit of the heavenly paper, since God had taken it back, every item there was burned into my mind like a photograph. I often mentally went over the list, wondering how God would bring them to pass. Some of the things looked like total impossibilities. On occasion, while thinking of these seemingly difficult things, I would jot down musings together with the predicted happening and drop them in my files. Recently, for my personal enjoyment, I drew out some of these papers. In preparing for this follow-up report, I thought it might be of interest to include some of these notes. Here is one, dated February 4, 1977.
just 2 weeks after this experience, and while most of the things were still in the future, it reads, "How can these things happen? Kurt Doolin's death in an airplane accident. May 30, 1977, Memorial Day. I surely don't understand why. Germany, I hope God works this one out. Later on, the Philippines. I wonder what God has in mind for ministry there. Capital Christian Center and Central Assembly joining forces to fill in gaps in our outreach for God. I just can't see it. God only knows how to make it happen. Russia. Our church in ministry there. This won't be easy. I wish I knew more about this one. I wonder how we will be involved. Wow." Another jotting that is especially significant at this time, because its fulfillment is still very much a part of the news, concerns the choice of the present Pope. This paper, dated January 30, 1977, reads as follows. From the Heavenly Paper, concerning things to come. God's message to me about the Pope and his reference to him on this paper is interesting. I wonder when it will happen. I wish I could remember how his name was spelled. The Pope is no more important to God than the least of his saints. No more influence with him than the least of his saints. No greater privileges than those who are the most insignificant. But great in influence with man, and therefore his choice is God's concern. As one who will play a great role in God's plan for the uniting of his fragmented body, God has chosen to fill this position a man named Karol Wojtyla of Poland. End of quotation. An interesting side note concerning the Pope was his association with the Living Sound Gospel Group and their director, Terry Law. For 3 consecutive years, beginning in 1975, this group has been invited for concerts in communist Poland, during which time the present Pope gave them great assistance. Yes, God is it still in control. As I think of the long list of events that have already been fulfilled in these predictions, these things that God said would so definitely take place, I cannot help but thank him. He has kept his word. This great event which has just happened concerning the Pope brings to number 113 of these events that have been fulfilled in sequence. 3 others, which I cannot discuss at this time, are in the process of being fulfilled. The question is often asked if the number of events has any special significance, and what will the completing of them mean? Actually, these 120 things are merely a minute fraction of God's unfolding plan. They are but reference points along the way, reminding us of his faithfulness in keeping his word. His unfolding plan will continue unabated, even though we may not have these markers along the way. One of the greatest truths this message brings to each of you who hear is the assurance that God has scheduled each day of your lives as well. As you walk with Him, He will direct your path, and though unknown to you, will bring to pass His purpose for you just as surely as He caused to happen the events given to me that day in the throne room.